In San Francisco, I'm Molly Wood sitting in for Kai Rizdahl. It is Friday, April 8th. Thanks for taking the time with us today. And let's dive right into our weekly wrap-up of the economic news making waves this week. Our wrappers today are David Gura of Bloomberg and Neela Richardson of Redfin. Hello, you two.
Hey, Molly.
Hi, Molly.
Hi there. So, all right, let's jump right into tax inversions, kind of the big economic news of the week. The Treasury Department issuing new rules that just destroyed, as you know, the Pfizer-Allergan deal. But what are, Neela, let's start with you, what are, if any, some unintended consequences of these tax inversion rules?
You know what? The big picture, I think, is that the U.S. has a very high tax rate relative to the rest of the developed world. It's 35%. And U.S. companies are taxed on all of their income, both domestic and abroad. And that is also very different from the rest of the world. So the basics are that companies will try to do anything they can to privately fix the tax code, which means they will try to invert, which is to swallow up another foreign company so they can be based in a foreign land and avoid taxes. They'll do offshore accounts. They'll do all kinds of tricky mechanisms. So when you ask about unintended consequences, it's really the unintended consequence of having a very high tax rate relative to the rest of the world. It causes companies to kind of shift their money around to avoid it.
So, David, what are they going to do now? What are the new methods that they will find?
You know, I think this highlights again the need, many people would say, to tackle tax reform in Congress. It's been talked about for a while. Paul Ryan came in as Speaker. That sort of came up to the forefront again that, you know, maybe this was going to be the time that Congress was actually going to do that. But I think as the year goes on, as we get closer to the election, it seems like that's not happening. And Jack Lew, the Treasury Secretary, President Obama, both of them said, you know, as sharp the teeth were on these new rules, there's a limit to what the administration can do on its own. And to really curb inversions, they'd need Congress's help. And it doesn't seem like they're getting that anytime soon.
All right. Well, then let's move on to the Panama Papers, another area where overhaul may be needed. David Cameron admitting today he profited from an offshore trust. What happens now, David? I mean, sudden new Treasury rules about shell companies?
You know, I think you heard President Obama address this at the press conference. He gave a statement on the inversion rule and the Panama Papers came up, and he used it to make the broader point here about the need to look at tax reform in the context of his belief that there are plenty of Americans who see what's happening here, see wealthy people, people in positions of power who are stashing their money in these shell companies overseas, feeling like they don't understand it. They don't know why that happens. They don't know why some people seem to get privileged status. So I think, you know, we'll see the administration use this again to push for more tax reform. But as Neela was saying, you know, 11.5 million documents, more than 2 terabytes of documents from this Panamanian law firm. An amazing amount of secrecy went into the early stage of this as this consortium of journalists went through it. You know, we saw the headlines. We saw the dramatic video of the Prime Minister of Iceland being presented with these facts and then having to leave his position just a couple hours or a few hours later. You know, I think that from what I hear, people are going to begin digging through this, looking for relationships now to major banks. And you're seeing a lot of major banks already doing their own internal investigations just to see sort of what relationships they may or may not have had with this Panamanian firm.
So let's very quickly touch on Yahoo. David, that sale book was a disaster. Why is there even talk of companies still bidding?
Yeah, I mean, I from what I hear, a company like Verizon may be interested in some of the advertising component of what Yahoo has to offer. We had just a couple of weeks ago Starboard Value suggesting that the whole board at Yahoo needed to be overhauled. Everybody needed to be out. They wanted to put new people in. It seemed like sentiment was starting to turn here. I was on set yesterday when this news broke. Our deals reporter came on to talk about it. You know, the big surprise to me, I think, is Google's interest here. We'd heard about Verizon potentially being interested in the company. The fact that Google is now really fascinating to me, and I'm eager to see what happens here. I gather that the first round of bids here will be due next week.
Yeah, Neela, some people had actually suggested that Google, this might have been the plan all along, put Marissa in as a Trojan horse and then get Google to buy it.
Wow, that's a conspiracy theory. Look, there is something that Yahoo has to offer, which may be the underlying reason behind a potential bidding war next week. They have eyeballs. This site gets more views than almost any other internet site in the country. It's the third largest. Millions of people go to yahoo.com, and there is a potential there that is untapped. It's a clean source of untapped profits. The fact that Yahoo and its its leadership has never been able to convert those eyeballs into dollars just makes it even more attractive to all these firms who think that they can do a better job at it.
They think, and we'll see. That's Neela Richardson from Redfin and David Gura from Bloomberg. Happy weekend, guys.
You too.
Thank you.